We talked about Mozart at the top of the hour, and I just want to say, disclose personally, as you discover in your life who's the Mozart of the 21st century and send your story to us at 8778-MY-TAKE, I want to disclose that I personally think Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was one of the most annoying people in world history.
I'm a vulgar man, but I assure you, my music is not.
He is divinely inspired. He is arrogant, vulgar, obscene. He creates music for the gods.
He is passionate.
He burns with fire.
He is an angel.
He is a devil.
He is all of the above. That's from the movie Amadeus back in 1984. Mozart wrote operas by the time he was 13, concertos, sonatas, symphonies. Wolfgang Mozart was an absolute musical genius, and perhaps that's why I find him annoying. But to the rest of the world, he truly is a cultural icon. His music can be heard everywhere, especially at the Mostly Mozart Music Festival that's 42 years old this year here in New York. Terrence McKnight, who's a music writer, blogger, and host of Evening Music on WNYC, is here with us. Terrence, you've been actually broadcasting from the Mostly Mozart Festival, and in many ways the festival has evolved into finding not so much Mozart's themes and music in culture, but finding his creative spirit. How's that going?
Well, I mean, last year was the first year that the festival had a composer in residence, and a guy named Osvaldo Galeoff was the composer in residence. This year they brought in another composer, a composer named Kaya Sarriaho, and Louis Langres has been the music director for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And so they've started to expand and look at how Mozart influenced other composers through his philosophy, through his work, through his spirit. So it's a chance for them to bring other music into the tent of Mozart, of this Mostly Mozart
festival. So the composer in residence at the festival is actually exploring the spirit of Mozart. And here's some of the work that Kaya Sarriaho actually presented at the festival. To embody Mozart's spirit, what do you think a composer has to do in this day and age?
I think a composer has to have a sense of humor, first of all.
Yep.
I mean, he has to have the composer has to have a real sense of technical proficiency as well, and be familiar with all of the music that's available. Mozart wrote in everything, every form that was available to him at his time. Not only did he write, but he wrote a masterpiece in opera and choral music and sacred music and concertos, every form that was available to him, he mastered it. So
you got to do it all. You got to do it all, and you got to push back on all the genres.
Who does that today?
That's a great question. I mean, who's able to write blues and hip hop and symphonies and oratorios and opera?
Would most deaf fit into that category?
Well, I
he raps
heard,
and he sings and he writes music and there's poetry and there's just, he exists on the continuum of music and
eclectic.
The arts.
Yeah, you know, Frank Zappa had some of those qualities, but still kind of narrow.
Well, living today, Osvaldo Galeoff, I think he was a great choice last year because he's delving to all of these, you know, different types of music. So, I mean, you know, Mozart did it in 35 years, so it's a tall order.
So annoying. Let's hear some of the contrasts that Mozart embodies in the Mostly Mozart Festival. Now, of course, the festival began with a performance of this very famous tune. Symphony number 40, the last movement. And here it is in a slightly different context. You can hear it in the background. There you go.
So, you really have to listen hard.
Well, but Mozart actually triggers in you the Mozart you've heard all your life. So even though it's in the background, it's in the foreground as far as your ears are concerned. That's EPMD sampling Mozart's 40th symphony there.
I mean, and if we're talking about hard times, which we were talking about earlier, about hard times, this guy composed this music towards the end of his life, Mozart did. He had just lost a daughter. He was in financial straits. He had to move he didn't get his home foreclosed on, but he had to move out of his home into a small apartment in the suburbs. He was really going through some tough times.
And his life began as a prodigy, sort of traipsed around Europe by his kind of nutty dad to perform like a chimp on the violin and the piano. I mean, he was a child prodigy who had no chance to find a life outside of music. And so sometimes I listen to late Mozart and feel him like, you know, kind of like an Olympic gymnast. I wish I could go out and play. You sort of hear that in the music.
Yeah, well, you know, and then Mozart wanted to, he had to work for the aristocrats for most of his life. Mm-hmm. And then he became perhaps the first successful freelance artist. He left home, moved to Vienna, and tried to go off on his own and was successful until the war. There was a war in Austria, and so a lot of the money left the city, and so he struggled and had to beg for
But beg he for became money. The template, the model for Beethoven, for Brahms, for the independent artists who didn't rely on the aristocracy who
Absolutely.
Came after. Yeah, it's fascinating. So what do you think of the festival this year?
Festival got off to a wonderful start the other night with this theme of loss and transformation with Mozart and with Mahler, and lots of exciting music. There's Kaya's piece, The Passion. She's got a passion that's coming. There's a Requiem, so that that dips back into some of Mozart's work. There's a lot of chamber music and solo piano music, you know, Schubert. Again, it's not all Mozart, but it's a lot of composers who tap into Mozart's reservoir of all of the music that he composed.
Mm. Was Mozart a celebrity in his day and age in the way that we understand it today?
For a while he was, yeah.
But only for a brief period. In many ways, his global significance is posthumous. It's after his death.
And that's what's so difficult about saying who the next Mozart will be.
Right.
We may have to wait a couple hundred years.
We may have to wait a couple hundred years.
There's some perspective, yeah, thanks that, for that, Terrence.
That would exceed the size of this segment, a couple hundred years. But Terrence, thanks so much for coming in.
You bet.
Terrence McKnight is a music writer and blogger and host of Evening Music on WNYC. Thanks so much for being here. We are always on here at The Takeaway. You can find us online, streaming at Friend Feed, on Facebook. Find our playlist at thetakeaway.org.
And, of course, we're still talking about the brink of a government shutdown, perhaps. Turkey's AK party narrowly missing being shut down themselves. Loads of news out of China, another small earthquake in Sichuan province, and an eclipse that we didn't get to.
We were just talking Mozart, prodigy, genius, cultural insurgent. He's been called many things. Just don't call him Wolfgang in my presence. Who's your Mozart? 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
And there's an oil boom in North Dakota. Here's your takeaway.
Imagine that. The fate of the government is actually in the hands of people that lawmakers talk to.
That was Todd Zwillick talking about the breakout of democracy in Washington during the dog days of summer 2008. Todd Zwillick, of course, our man in Washington.
It's Friday. It's the first day of August, and I'm still a Dory Doji.
Ah, is that going to change anytime soon?
Well, I don't know. It could.
All right, stay
depending
tuned.
On circumstances.
Stay tuned. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.